Considering that we are indeed in Wisconsin, at least I hope we are, right? And winter is slowly but surely approaching, I can imagine most of us, if not all of us, have had the experience of being cold. I can imagine that a great number of us have been, on occasion, very cold. It's not much fun. But worse, I bet there are a few who have had the experience of being dangerously cold or hypothermic. And that is precisely the situation that 40 Roman soldiers found themselves in nearly 1,700 years ago in a mountain town in what is now central Turkey. These Roman soldiers had converted to Christianity, and as their punishment, they were to die by spending the night exposed on a frozen lake. They could leave the ice any time, however, so long as they worshipped the Roman pagan idols. There was even a hot bath prepared for them. But these 40 soldiers banded together that night. They prayed together and encouraged those who were weak and wavering. These men died as martyrs that night. Their bodies may have died of cold, but their souls were burning furiously with love of God and for each other. Now, besides the cold, I hope that each of us is able to experience this type of true friendship. We might all have friends of utility, people who help us out from time to time, and we help them in return. It's kind of like a cashier at a store. We get a service, and they get paid. It's easy. We might also have friends that we have a good time with. The friendship is built around those good times and those good memories. You really do enjoy each other's company, but maybe it doesn't go much deeper than that. There's certainly nothing wrong with these two types of friendship. We really need them to function well as a society. We hope that people are friendly, courteous, and joyful to one another. These types of friendships, however, don't run very deep. They are more of a social contract that can be easily broken. If the cashier never gives the right change and brings the items up incorrectly, the friendship is not going to work out. If the friend you go out with every week stops being fun to be with, you might stop hanging out with them. Because these friendships can be so superficial, I hope that each of you has at least a couple or a few deep and virtuous friendships. This will look much different than a friendship of utility or pleasure. This friendship is less of a contract and it looks more like a covenant. In this type of friendship, you are challenging one another to be better people. You are striving for something together, and you won't think for a second about leaving your friend behind. Going to seminary is an experience that I had of this type of friendship. I remember how sad I was to leave my home and my family, but there was a great joy that I had in those deep friendships which formed over those many years of seminary, many of which I still have and keep in close contact with. Having one another to strive for holiness, and we really just tried to be good men. Marriage, or at least I hope so, is also like this. Ideally, you are both striving for holiness and to live well, and if God has blessed you with them, to raise your children well and good. Living an authentic Christian life almost necessarily includes this type of friendship. When Jesus started his public ministry, he gathered a group that became deep friends, and he shared his life with them. They spent 3 years together learning and growing in their faith. Jesus challenged them, and they were clearly not afraid to ask Jesus tough questions or for an explanation to his teachings. Over the past few weeks, we have mentioned the characteristics of a disciple, one who follows Jesus. As disciples of Jesus ourselves, we strive to imitate his life here on earth. In our second reading, we hear that the Word of God is living and effective. It penetrates right to our very hearts. The life of Christ recounted in the Gospels must change our lives. And so we imitate Jesus in prayer, and we also imitate him in his friendships. In our Gospel, we hear of the rich young man who went away sad when the Lord commanded him to sell what he had and to give to the poor. I think this is one of the more challenging Gospel passages, because who of us would be able to do that? Certainly none of us would, first, without the grace of God, and second, without each other. Imagine if the rich young man had a group of good friends to challenge him and encourage him to follow the Lord's command. Maybe the story would have gone a bit differently. Maybe it would have looked like St. Francis and the other mendicants who gave away everything they had to join a group of friends to serve the Lord and to serve the poor. Or maybe the story would look more like those Roman soldiers whose deep friendship brought them to death rather than to betray God. So perhaps for us here and now, we can reflect on what this means in our lives and specifically who is in our lives. Obviously, we need to first work on being close to God ourselves, especially through prayer. But we should also look at who God has placed in our lives. Are there friendships that could and maybe should grow stronger, beyond utility and a good time, so that we are challenging each other to be holy, to pray more, to serve more, in short, to love more? Are there friendships that we need to let go of because they are holding us back from being a true disciple? And that is one of the great gifts, I think, of being part of a parish family. From the group of apostles formed other groups of Christians, and then from them, still more. So we here at Notre Dame are just another group of Christians in a long line of good groups of friends. We have been brought together by place, circumstance, and time, but more importantly by God, to help each other strive for holiness. And what a gift we have in our parish family. I've been very edified in just these 3 short months that I've been here. And one very practical thing that myself and Father Burrish have been praying about lately is Mass attendance. Obviously, I can't preach to all of you to go to Mass because you're already here, right? But maybe you can think of a friend, a family member, a co-worker who has fallen away from the habit of going to Mass. Certainly, there are some who have a good reason, especially health reasons, but there are many more who have simply fallen out of the habit. Now, I'm not a big fan of homily challenges or things like that, but Father Burrish and I, we really need your help in inviting these people back, gently and out of love, because we know what a great gift it is to be able to gather here together as a parish for Mass, to offer our sacrifice of praise, and to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And what true friend would let someone be absent from that? Nevertheless, in this and in all things, we ask for the Lord's help first and foremost, that we might imitate him and be his disciples, or we could say his true friends.